Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 335, recorded on June 23rd, 2017. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. This show is sponsored by HelloFresh, the leading meal kit delivery service. For $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com and enter the code TIOSS30 when you subscribe. I am Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Cool.
I'm hanging out in the Midwest, where, in fact, you can find people talking about HelloFresh on the streets
and kidding.
And asking, have you heard of HelloFresh? And I say, yes. And then they say, well, would you like to know more about it? And then I say, well, they actually sponsor my show, so I'm good. And they're a little confused. But anyway, Adam Christensen's also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good. It's humid here. But yeah, I'm surviving.
It's not here.
I know. I can't wait to get back.
It's very nice and mild. The pool is a nice warm.
How deep is the pool? Can I do a cannonball in the pool?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll nice. I'll do that. I'll go do
we
that.
We don't have a diving board, but you can definitely cannonball off the side.
Okay, cool. Sounds good. I'll see you in a couple days.
Cool.
All right. So Apple has seeded the second beta of pretty much all of the goodies. We got the watchOS 4. I think they've added all the Toy Story characters now into the watchOS beta, which
cool.
is one of the few things that were demonstrated during the keynote. So we've got Woody and Buzz, etc.
Jesse,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
and Rex.
You get oh, there's a Rex.
Yeah, there's a Rex. And I think there's a, what's the pig?
Hammy.
Yeah, he's in
there. Oh, team. Hammy. That's right.
So.
Oh, so there's more characters than what they showed.
Yeah, although it's not clear if you'll be able to select those. So there's a random feature called Toy Box.
Huh? Very cool.
So you can't select those more minor characters.
Those extra characters like Slinky Dog.
Oh, I wonder if he's in there. That'd be cool. I'm not sure.
Probably not. They probably had to like pay Mattel licensing or something.
Maybe. So that's cool. Watch OS 11. iOS 11. We got some new features in there. Some refinements to Control Center. The what is it? The driving mode. That's
mm-hmm.
that's now included.
I think I need to put that on my iPad Pro.
Really?
You don't get driving mode on anything except the iPhone.
Are you talking?
No. I meant just iOS 11.
I'm running it on an iPad Mini right now, and it's really nice. And I really want to put it on my iPad Pro, but there's just the old school part of me. It's like, yeah, don't, not yet.
I reverted my iPad pretty quickly. It's too buggy. So
I don't know. I'm hearing many good things.
It's fun. It's cool. But yeah, it's really buggy. So it'll upset you. And I'm usually pretty immune to those sorts of little issues, but I couldn't handle it.
So you don't think it's better with these new updates?
I don't think that the bugs... I think the bugs outweigh the new features.
Hmm.
It was kind of a bummer. But that was the first beta. I'm probably going to put the public beta on there, but we're still not at public beta status yet, so...
Right. Yeah, when we get to public beta level, that's when I may consider putting it on my iPad Pro.
Yeah, and I think the iPad is probably more interesting than putting it on an iPhone in a lot of ways.
You guys are chicken.
Okay. I'll take it. You got some new experimental features in Safari. Apple is adding new web features, and you can turn those on. So it's really more for development. So it turns on
for iOS is so sort of like experimental Safari.
Yeah.
On the Mac.
Yep. So that's pretty cool. And they're improving Control Center and all those other things. You can check out. I have a link to a 9 to 5 Mac beta 2 walkthrough that you can. They've got all kinds of little nitty gritty things thrown in there.
What's funny is I have experimental Safari on the Mac, and I've never ever. I think I opened it one time.
I've never even put the experimental version on mine. Just I'm so nonplussed with web browsers, anyhow.
I'm too busy doing actual work to have time to like mess around with like experimental, cool Safari, you know, like CSS features and stuff like that.
Yeah. Nope. I totally get it. You have real stuff to do.
Real things.
Yeah.
So did you guys see these parts from the iPhone 8 and iPhone 7S? So you've got your glass front and back.
I've seen many parts.
So these were posted on Reddit.
In my time.
In your time, yeah. I'm sure you have. These were posted on Reddit by Cam McCaskey, a guy on Reddit, basically. But they look good. They look legit. So as far as the iPhone 8 goes, this is right in line with what we were expecting. However, the iPhone 7S and 7S Plus, there are rear glass panels for those. And people seem to be glossing over that and not fully realizing that this is completely outside of what we were expecting for these phones. We were expecting aluminum. We were expecting the same form
factor. It's a huge design change that people haven't been sort of emphasizing, but it's been being talked about for a while. I mean,
that it wouldn't
7
be?
And 7S or 7S, 7S Plus were going to also have glass backs like the 8.
Right. Yeah. I think we were kind of all expecting a pretty much the same form factor for those phones with an aluminum back, and then having the iPhone 8 being the exclusive.
That was originally, but the last couple cycles for the last few weeks have been that they're going to all have glass backs and wireless charging across the line.
Yeah, it seems that way now, because that would be the most, you know, that would be the primary reason to have a glass back.
Mm-hmm. You don't need a glass back for contactless charging or wireless charging.
True. But I'm guessing.
Oh yeah, you could have plastic, right?
You can have metal.
You can have metal also.
Yeah. You'd still have to have like a transmitting area, right?
It's about getting into the magnetic field, the electrical field, really. The battery pack that I put into my Magic Mouse, I forgot what brand it was, but anyhow. You know, it replaced the whole bottom panel, the battery cover, with a new one, which was still metal, but it had the battery pack built into it.
Yeah, but that's aluminum, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
And isn't the iPhone's current one, is it steel, right? Or is it still aluminum?
It's aluminum.
Oh, so only Apple Watch is steel.
Only the fancier ones are, yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe it's more efficient if you don't have that extra chunk of metal in the way. I don't know.
I would imagine there's probably more.
Maybe it's not as fast.
More resistance
to charge.
Yeah. I think there's probably a degradation of the magnetic field when you're transmitting through metal, but it can be done. And it seems,
Apple's all about the sexy.
It is also sexy. So.
Ultimately, it could be a factor of two things, right? If they get better radio transparency with glass, and then two, I mean, they are doing updated phones. So if you're going to have the 8 with a glass back, there's a certain homogeny. Is that what I want to say? Yeah, homogeny. Sure. Into having them all be the same, you know, all match sort of at least aesthetically.
Yeah, there's that too.
They'll feel more like a family. It'll feel more like a cohesive lineup than like, you know, one oddball on the top end.
I suppose. Although I thought that was kind of the idea, is this is going to be the iPhone edition and it's supposed to be
premium luxury.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what they realized is people are going to get that anyway with all of the other like technology features.
Yeah, definitely. So you can check out those part leaks. Seems like they're all going to have wireless charging, which is pretty neat.
And that's an option. That's another thing a lot of people aren't stressing that I think kind of freaks people out, right?
Yeah, so all signs point to Lightning.
You'll still have a Lightning connector, and you're still going to have regular charging that'll be wired charging, but it's an option to have wireless.
Right. And I think we're expecting a boost in water resistance as well.
They're saying water. Some of the reports are saying waterproof.
Yeah.
Right? I think.
Okay, we're going to look at user.
Whoa. Sorry, my iPad just woke up. I think a lot of places are confusing water resistance with waterproofness and using the terms interchangeably.
Certainly possible. But you can put your iPhone 7 in a vat of Jell-O and drop it off of a parking garage.
We have seen that, yes.
So does that mean waterproof? I don't know.
No.
No,
I know I haven't been worried about water in my iPhone 7 yet.
I don't want to get it wet because I just worry about plugging it in once the ports have water in them.
Ah, yeah, okay, there's that.
So, yeah, you can dunk your phone in a pot of soup, but then you have to dry it out.
Yep.
And in the meantime, it tastes good.
Yeah. You can lick the borscht out of your speakers.
There's a band name in there somewhere. I'm working on it.
Okay, let us know.
All right.
Let's see, what do we have here? So one of the
borscht in my speakers. That's my Dead Kennedys cover band name.
There you go. Largan Precision. That's one of Apple's current suppliers for lenses. Their CEO has said that 3D, they're going to be supplying a butt ton of 3D sensing lenses, or lenses for 3D cameras, I should say. And all signs point to Apple and iPhone 8. And it just kind of confirms the notion that we're probably going to be getting 3D capability in the iPhone 8, and it seems like it's going to be on the front, a front-facing 3D situation.
That kind of fits with the rumors we'd been hearing earlier about 3D cameras.
By front, you mean the EyeSight camera?
Yes.
So not the FaceTime camera.
Sorry, the FaceTime. Yeah, the FaceTime camera.
FaceTime camera.
Now, everybody's talking about facial recognition, iris recognition. I just don't think that's what this is going to be for.
All right, what's it going to be for?
I think it's going to be an addition to Apple's augmented reality and assorted technologies.
It's going to be for making you into a game avatar.
There you go.
Yeah, something like that.
Yep, I am so with you.
But then beyond that one picture, what are you going to use it for? I'm not sure.
Well, and I'm pretty sure, I mean, the rumors have been that there's going to be, I mean, maybe these Largan ones are only FaceTime, but I mean, the rumor has been that there's going to be 3D sensing technology in both cameras. And totally for the EyeSight camera, it would make sense for that technology to be in there for the AR stuff that, you know, they even showed off at WWDC, you know, to be able to like laser and 3D analyze a space for doing augmented reality kinds of applications and virtual reality kinds of applications.
Right.
So I think both cameras are going to have these kinds of systems in there so that they can quickly, you know, reach out and analyze a space in 3D so that then they can do accurate and in real time, like surface mapping for different kinds of AR applications and VR applications.
Yep, that seems totally, totally plausible.
It makes sense.
I mean, AR kit's doing it already amazingly without those sensors. And can you imagine how much better it's going to be with the new hardware?
I would guess fairly epic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here. Oh, we saw some screen protectors, which again are showing off this interesting bezel that's kind of consistent across all these iPhone 8 leaks now. And so we've got just wafer thin bezels all the way around, except at the top where we see four circular cutouts and
the notch.
The notch. There we go. I like that.
This whole, you're talking about the whole thing at the top?
The little tab or notch, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, the tab. Yeah. So there are actually in the previous story, the story for the 3D lenses, if you click on that, there are some renders, some mock-ups from a Twitter user, Venya Geskin1. And it gives a really, so this is Benjamin Geskin. It gives a really, I think, plausible idea of what this is going to look like. So while you see the naked phone, or the naked front, I should say, without the screen there, it just has this tab. But it seems as though we're going to see the status bar migrate up into there. So it's always going to be black. It's just going to look like one black bar where it's a seamless transition from live screen to the tab back to the live screen as you go across.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And he expects the time to actually migrate south just a touch into the bars at the top of applications.
Hmm.
But it's an interesting look. I don't know if you guys are checking it out.
Many applications just hide the time too. I mean, a lot of time those bars, depending upon which application you're in, are just gone.
And I hate that. It's completely unnecessary for them to do that. It's like they forgot that that's a useful thing for people to see. And then they're the same type of people who complain about the iPhones having bad battery life.
Yeah. How about that?
So... But yeah, we are seeing screen protectors, glass screen protectors, that pretty much match that whole idea. And you know, in the past, screen protectors kind of indicate what the supply chain is seeing.
It indicates what the supply chain thinks it's going to be, and
there
that they are reaching a level of confidence with what they're seeing that they believe that's what is going to be shipping.
Right.
But I mean, let's be honest, it's still a gamble at this point. Until Apple sits on stage and shows off the design, they are just taking a calculated risk.
Yes.
Trying to get ahead of the curve.
Yep. I remember one year at CES, I think it was the year the iPad was coming out, but no one had seen anything yet. The cases, it was like every booth had an iPad case. And some of them were pretty close, but many of them, they weren't going to fit an iPad. And yeah, and it was all about just kind of guessing at which of the leaked designs was the right one, and they were hoping they nailed it.
Yeah. I mean, if they do, they're ahead of the curve. If not, you know, I don't think they do a large run. I think they ramp up, you know, a few thousand units, and they're like, hey, we're ready to go day one. If not, you know, we'll retool, and a week later we'll have our cases on the market. So,
yep.
Yeah. But this is pretty consistent with a lot of the stuff we've seen. So unless all the stuff we've seen
I mean, the reality is we're at the point now in the cycle where Apple has had to have gone into production or is going into production on whatever the final design is. So we're just at that stage where a lot of the rumors and speculation are coming together. So when you hear things like they're all going to have glass backs, you know, you're at a much higher confidence level than you were, you know, 3 months ago. So things like this little glass front with a little tab notch thing, that seems to be pretty consistent now from all of the leaked sources. So, you know, it's just, again, you never know with 100% certainty until Apple makes the keynote. But at this stage of the game, you'll notice the leaks are all starting to become consistently, you know, sort of saying the same thing. And when that's happening, we can say with pretty good confidence that, you know, this is what the design's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it ain't ever over till it's over, folks. Things have happened.
Yeah, it could be totally circular. It could be in the shape of a fidget spinner.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be stuff like that. But it could be stuff like, oh, the backs on the 7S and 7S Plus are still metal. You know, it can be things like that.
Yeah.
Minor last minute sort of adjustments, or, you know, a button being shifted some way or another, or, you know, those sorts of things.
Yeah, I just hope it has the silent ring switch still.
That would be so lame to take that away. That's been a feature of the iPhone since the very first model because it makes so much sense.
It's a super good feature. Did you guys see, I forgot to put this in the show notes, but there was an interview with Scott Forstall.
Mm-hmm.
And
Computer
some other
History
people.
Museum.
Yes. It was really interesting.
Yep.
There was some history there, personal history on Scott's part that I didn't understand.
Yeah, sharks.
Sharks, yeah.
But he took the photo.
Uh-huh. And acupuncture, thanks to Steve.
And I had not realized that he's had already 18 Tony nominations for the stuff he's produced.
No way.
Pretty impressive.
Wow.
It's an
interesting
Broadway
guy.
Stuff.
Kind of wish he was still at Apple, but it is what it is.
Well, yeah. You may get your wish back someday.
Well, how's that?
Don't count him out. I would just say don't count him out. I mean, depending upon what happens with Cook and Co., and you never know. I mean, Silicon Valley is a weird place, and I think we were talking about this, Jeff, right, earlier mm-hmm. this week, that he was handpicked by Steve to kind of be his protege, and he worked with him all the way back, going all the way back to Next. So,
yep.
You know, if the board at some point gets finicky or fickle or weird about what Cook is doing, it's not entirely out of the realm of possibility that he could be on a short list for, you know, replacement. Now, right now, I think everything's happy and copacetic. I don't think, you know, while the media and other people are sometimes take issue with Cook, I think in general at Apple, people are pretty happy with what he's doing and what the teams there are doing. So
yeah, but a really good example of that sort of thing just happened with Chris Lattner, right? So he left. Right. He's the guy who created Swift at Apple. He left Apple about six
yeah,
months ago.
Story's weird.
Went to Tesla, yeah. And now he decided he didn't like it there. I guess
they're both just saying he wasn't a good fit.
I guess Elon was too mean or something.
Was that what it was?
No, that's just my guessing.
Yeah, I know, bizarre.
So, although it doesn't say anything about him coming back to Apple, but he may be.
No, what was even weirder was like when I read the tweet that sort of broke this whole story was he's like, yeah, I'm looking for a good place to, if anybody's looking for a good, you know, talented engineer or whatever, I'm available.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah,
that was so weird. Why wouldn't he just go back to Apple and be like, oh, sorry, my bad. I just took a 6-month sabbatical.
I mean, he may do that. Although it's also possible that is not in his contract.
He may not be able to because of non-disclosure agreements and work contracts.
Yeah. It's very likely he needs to do something else. But it's interesting because if that were the case or just in the fact that he didn't want to go back to Apple, it's fascinating just knowing that he decided to just quit with no second option. He didn't like it so much at Tesla. And I'm not knocking Tesla. I think Tesla's probably a great place to work. It's just very interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I threw that a link to the Computer History Museum talk into the show notes. You can check that out. But with that, we have more to talk about, with Tim Cook talking about, self-driving cars and AR kit and stuff. But first I want to mention our sponsor, which is HelloFresh at HelloFresh.com. HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking more fun so you can focus on the whole experience, not just the final plate. Each week, HelloFresh creates new delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novices to seasoned home cooks short on time. They source the freshest ingredients measured to the exact quantities needed so there's no food waste. They employ 2 full-time registered dietitians on staff who review each recipe to ensure they're nutritionally balanced. All of this is delivered right to your doorstep in a recyclable insulated box for free, and all of the ingredients are separated by recipe in a fancy little box in order to make life simple. They're now offering light spring meals and have just introduced breakfast options, which is super cool. And best of all, each recipe costs less than $10 a meal. So the box that I got included Jamie Oliver's aloo gobi, honey glazed pork, and mozzarella crusted chicken. They were all great, but that honey glazed pork was especially wonderful, and it was really satisfying to know that I could make something that tasted so good. I love the packaging. Everything is organized and the recipes are in neat, well-designed booklets, which is great because I loved how much the recipes taught me about cooking, and I'll be using them again in the future. They include everything needed to cook the food, and of course they taste great. And there was more than enough to keep me satisfied. Best of all, I didn't have to worry about finding the ingredients or making sure I had a recipe that would work. It was all taken care of and delivered right to my door. So for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com and enter the code TIOSS30 when you subscribe. That's TIOSS30. Okay, so Tim Cook has basically confirmed that Apple is totes doing autonomous driving stuff. He was talking to Bloomberg, and he said that we are focusing on autonomous systems. It's a core technology we view as very important.
They're building a freaking car service. I've been saying this.
A car service?
Yes.
A car service, yes. Adam, what do you mean by that?
Yes, tell us more.
I mean that Apple is going to ultimately develop and build the platform for future transportation, personal transportation, which is you are not going to own a car, you're not going to deal with paying insurance, you're not going to deal with paying registration and all that other garbage. You're going to pay Apple X hundreds of dollars a month or whatever it might be, what normally would be your about the cost of a car payment, and you will just have an on-demand car whenever you need it, and it will be self-driving, autonomous, and you just like, hey, I need to go to the store, and then a car shows up, you get in, it drives you there, you get out, and it drives away.
Isn't that kind of what Tesla has envisioned?
Yeah.
for the next. Mm-hmm. They say yeah. that the idea.
But I think
is,
they're going to pioneer. So where they're going to start and pioneer it is with like an Uber style. So they're going to go directly up against Uber and Tesla and anybody else who's building a car service. But I mean, the reality is this. I think that's where they're driving toward. And I think the backup plan is if that doesn't work, we're just going to build a massive, awesome system that we can OEM and sell to other people. But that's typically not how Apple likes to do things. So my assumption is the vision is we are going to build a platform for putting into other vehicles, you know, like off-the-shelf vehicles, because we don't want to do a ground-up car. Although, again, that I think is also a possibility if they need to do that. I think they're willing to do that. But I think really what they want to do is build a system that they can put into or partner with a car company to create a vehicle fleet that will be for an on-demand service. So cars as a service, you're not going to, you know, there's a lot of people who really don't need to or don't want to own a car. And I think they're going to start, you know, probably pilot it in China, I would imagine. And I think, again, that going back to, I said this when they did the Didi Chung investment, I think that's part of what they're doing with Didi Chung. I think it's also why, you know, we haven't seen anything like these cars that Apple has driving around that like look like Google Street View cars. I think those are all about doing 3D spatial mappings of like environments for their car, for their autonomous car project. I think all of that data, it's just all huge data collection going to feed this project. Which is why we haven't seen like Street View added to Apple Maps like you would expect, because I don't think that's what they're collecting data for.
I kind of think that it's more they just want to have a software platform. But as I say that, it doesn't sound like Apple. That's the only hang-up.
No, it doesn't.
It sounds like just based on everything we're seeing and learning and hearing about, it sounds like they've decided they want to make an autonomous driving platform, but that Correct. Is weird for Apple because they like to do the whole widget.
Right. So what is the whole widget? The widget is the service that goes with that. Right.
So this is going to be some car manufacturer, let's say Audi, and Apple fully installs and integrates their tech into a car. So it's not like we've added on some weird old school taxi, you know, they bolt on a bunch of extra boxes into a car. This is a fully integrated, beautiful solution.
No, I think they'll say, look, you do the vehicle, we'll do all the autonomous driving system and engineering, we'll partner together, we'll build it, and then we're gonna create this platform that people can subscribe to. And guess what? You can order it up with Siri, your Apple Watch. Apple already has the data on where their customers are. So, you know, vehicles can be smart about making sure they're in areas where people are going to need rides and all this other stuff, right? And this is all big data stuff that has to drive this because it has to be super smart. You have to be able to, if for it to work, if I need a car, I have to have a car in 5 minutes. I can't wait 10, 15, 20 minutes. You know, for that car, and I can't have to try and do this whole weird schedule in advance thing. But I mean, that will be built into it too, because many people, you know, you think about your life, many people have pretty regimented schedules. Like, I know that I need to take my kids to their practices at this time on these days. Like, you could schedule a lot of that stuff too, right? So they can make sure those things are available. It sounds weird. And when I tell people this, they're like, there's no way that'll ever work. But I think that's where we're getting to, and we're not that far away from it happening. And Apple is always very forward thinking. So, you know, I think they're looking for the day when that gets revolutionized. And when I think about like my own driving, how much of our cars' lives are just spent sitting in the garage or sitting in the driveway?
Totally.
Like,
yeah.
That's like
I would speculate
money.
For most people, it's at least 90%.
Yeah. So we have this weird thing that's just for getting us from point A to point B that we depend on, but most of the time we're not using. And it's a big, heavy, it's an expensive thing. It's expensive to maintain. It's expensive to do registration. You know, what's really where they're really going to have the most trouble is in government regulators trying to like stop them from actually building the platform.
Yeah.
Is it government? Well, yeah, I guess government regulators, but I'm assuming it's going to be government regulators spurred on by lobbyists representing organizations,
insurance companies,
taxis.
Absolutely. They are not going to like this at all. Governments aren't going to like it because it's stealing, you know, registration revenue from them. So there's going to have to be some compromises and offsets. I mean, the companies are still going to have to register these vehicles and insure them and stuff like that. But it sort of shifts the whole dynamic, right? So it really changes things. So, you know, road revenues and all these other weird things, you know, that are going to have to be thought through. So this isn't an overnight thing. And again, that's why I think they're starting with the platform and the system, because there are some immediate revenue opportunities where they could just be selling the tech. But I think the ultimate goal, the ultimate goal is this car service thing. You know, it's the next generation of personal transportation. Because I think they see how popular, like, even just for people who need temporary transportation, Lyft and Uber have been doing so well. Take it to the next level. Apply that same sort of concept to all your personal transportation, and what do you end up with? You end up with a car service, like a full-time dedicated car service for individuals. And autonomous vehicles would make that doable, I think. Especially with a lot of big data and artificial intelligence behind them, like driving and making sure that there's availability and there's enough vehicles in a given area for the people that might need vehicles and all those sorts of things. I don't know. That's my theory. That's what I think they're doing.
I'm liking your theory. The one thing that kind of sticks with me as a problem is that it does go outside of Apple's typical "we make the whole widget" thing, and right. And yeah, I know saying the platform itself is the whole widget, but in my mind, the car becomes part of the widget.
Definitely.
So, well, but, you know, this is a new Apple.
The service.
It reminds me a lot of the rocker idea. That didn't work out so well.
Yeah. No, again, but I think that was Apple totally taking advantage of Motorola to test things.
And again, I'm not saying they won't do the whole widget. And I think Tim Cook even commented in the interview, if I'm remembering right from what I was reading, that, you know, he didn't like deny or say they weren't doing a car. He didn't come out and say that they were, but I think it was sort of asked and it was ambiguously answered.
Yeah, he left that ambiguous.
Right, so, in typical Apple fashion. So, I mean, they could. I mean, and they could at some point just buy a car company and you know, have all that manufacturing if they really wanted to do it. I think there's a lot of risk in that, though.
Right. They could also turn around at some point and say, yeah, we've been working on this car project, but that's because this is the most effective way we have found to test artificial intelligence. And that's all this was about. Now we're taking all this AI knowledge we have and we're applying it to these other products.
Right. Yeah. So again, I think this is one of those R&D kinds of things that they're working on where I think they have some specific goals laid out. And I think they have some options if it turns out there's too many challenges or they hit too many roadblocks. And Apple's been pretty good at doing this the last couple of years too, I think, with a lot of the things that they've developed. So they have contingency plans that they don't necessarily want to take, but I think they're smart enough to know that at certain points they may have to pivot, and they don't want to invest in something where there's not going to be a payout, even if they have to bail on the big vision, right? So the big vision may be we want to build an entire widget thing. But look, at the end of the day, if it doesn't work out, we've got an entire platform that we can, you know, sell to other companies and still profit off of. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think some of it's about mitigating risk.
Well,
in taking on big projects like this.
You can sort of look at it as them creating a developer platform for autonomous vehicles.
Yeah.
Where the developers are just the car manufacturers.
Correct. Yeah. That's a great way to look at it, I think.
But again, it still feels weird with Apple, because the hardware thing is where they kind of cut the line.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, if it's, again, like developers and they just get a cut for every time, you know, somebody sells a car with their platform, then that's probably a pretty good revenue stream.
Is there going to be an app store for the car?
I still think what I told you guys is the vision. I really think it's next generation of personal transportation is what they're looking at.
I like it. I want next gen personal transportation. I like what Elon's doing with the Boring Company.
Yep.
That's fun. Mm-hmm. And the mascot Gary. Do you guys know about that?
Yeah. Gary the Snail.
Gary the Snail. Yeah. So that's also probably the best company name I've ever heard. So let's talk briefly about ARKit. We mentioned it earlier, but developers, they've gotten about a week to play with it.
That's amazing. I have to retract my statements. Like when I think we maybe talked about it on the show when I first saw it, or I commented when we were doing the live Mac show thing that I didn't think it was, like, I was having trouble seeing the big deal. But as you were saying, Michael.
Yeah, developers immediately have been able to do some fun stuff, some really cool stuff with it.
Yes.
There are countless demos on YouTube that you can look at. There are a couple videos listed on this Mac Rumors article. It's fascinating. I think a lot of the developers are taking game NPCs from their current titles and saying, okay, well, let me see what I can do with them in ARKit. And they place them in their bedroom with some smoke, some fog, and just suddenly they're there perfectly clipped onto the floor, and they can walk around, and the lighting effects change as you move around them. It's really cool.
Yeah.
It is cool. Have you seen the BB-8 demos?
I didn't. Did you see the zombies?
Yes.
The zombie one was pretty frightening, actually.
What's great about that zombie one, if you can find the link to it, is it's actually a how-to.
Yes, it is.
That goes along with it. So he shows you how you can make your own app that will actually do that, you know, with a 3D modeled character. You wouldn't have to use a zombie. You could build that same app with just about anything. And that's the amazing part about this ARKit thing, is that developers can quickly and easily assemble this stuff, and, you know, and that's just novice developers who don't need to know. Like, you and I could probably build that zombie ARKit demo.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are going, no, I'm not a programmer. If watch the thing, like, watch it. It is not that tricky to, like, set up and link up. There's, like, really no coding involved to do that. And that's a real basic thing. And it looks cool. Yeah, it's application-wise, is it, you know, what are you going to do with it? Probably not much. But that's the thing, is, like, if it's that easy to just set that much up and not have to worry about lighting and positioning and, you know, it handles all the scaling and all this other stuff, that frees the developer up to figure out, okay, now what can I really do with this stuff, like, creatively? Like, what are good applications that people are going to actually benefit from and be able to use of this technology? When Apple is able to take away the technology part, you know, the, like, having to do all the complexity, the minutia stuff, and free developers up to just think about, you know, using that tool, that's where the really cool stuff happens. And like, one of my favorite demos so far that I've seen of the ARKit is, you see the one where the guy basically sets up the phone and it, like, shoots out like a laser, and he just carves a opening in like a real life metal door, right?
Yes.
And then the door falls away, and then behind it, it is an entire, like, virtual world of, like, you know, jungle and dinosaurs and stuff like that. Like, that's, like, kind of cool. That stuff's really cool. You know, so first you use your phone to, like, laser. And so you could see that being part of, like, larger games where, you know, you pick up a tool and then you're actually able to use it in a real world space and then open up another virtual environment that you can then move into. And it's really, that's really interesting to me, more so than just, oh, I can put a coffee cup on my table, a virtual coffee cup on my table. I mean, that stuff we've kind of seen with AR before. But what I didn't really understand was, like, in the past, to put that coffee cup on the table, you know, with a digital marker or something like that. You know, Starbucks did this a while back, I think, with their cups, right, where you could point your phone at a Starbucks cup and then, like, little animations would pop out of it. We've all seen this stuff. Developers actually had to, like, hand, like, code that. You had to, like, do everything from scratch. What ARKit brings is the ability to do that right out of the box without having to really do any coding. So then it just becomes, okay, now what can we do with this stuff to make it really something useful for people?
Right. It's kind of like a UI kit for AR.
Yeah. Again, it's about sort of taking like minutia of stuff that would just be really, you'd have to trudge through a lot of coding, and just making it so simple that it's like, that's out of the way. Okay, now I can really focus on making this a really cool game.
Yeah.
Or using this in a really cool way. And it doesn't end up just being gimmicky. Because so far what we've had is just gimmicky. And I think the reason we've had gimmicky was just to get to the gimmicky part was like a massive undertaking.
And by the end, you're done doing it.
Yeah,
and
you're like, I don't want to do this anymore.
This is a good point to bring up, because one of the very first things that we're seeing is IKEA talking about how they want to put out an app where you can virtually place their furniture in your place to get an idea of what it will look like.
Right. Yep. And have it look photorealistic.
Yes.
And and they're partnering with Apple on this. Their intent is to have this app available when iOS 11 officially ships this fall.
I haven't seen an IKEA catalog in a while, but somebody had told me that even now, and actually for a while, they've been like, all the stuff you see in their catalogs are actually 3D models. They haven't actually been doing real like photography.
I believe it.
Huh.
Meaning that for this application, they already have these really, really good photorealistic like virtual models like ready to go. They already have like libraries of all of their stuff that they can just drop in again. So it's going to be very easy for them to kind of build this thing that they want, because Apple's built the technology for doing the spatial awareness and the lighting and all that stuff. And they already have the models. So now it's just a matter of like hooking everything up. I don't know if that was true or not. I haven't seen an IKEA catalog in a while, but it kind of made sense to me that they've been doing a lot of this stuff already just for their print. In online
they
catalogs.
Have so many products,
right,
and variations on products. That would be a monumental photography project. So yeah, I mean, if they can do it 3D models, I bet that's saving a huge amount of time and money.
Yeah.
Yep. Cool. So I'm looking forward to using stuff with ARKit. I think it's a surprising yet wonderful thing that Apple has decided to focus on. Yeah.
And if you really are all curious or inspired by that, and you have any level of programming skill, I would really check out that zombie thing.
Yep, there's a full demo. The zombies, they're like open source zombies from a library that you can just throw in there.
Now, the guy that did the zombie demonstration, That was pretty significant that he did it and was really excited about it, because this, I forgot his name, but he's known for his augmented reality work.
Right.
And he doesn't like to use anything that isn't cross-platform, but he got a hold of ARKit and flipped. And he's like, I have to do this demo for you guys because it's that cool. So that's really saying a lot.
Yeah. That's a testament to the tool, right? Because he's saying, look, I've done this other ways, and this is like revolutionary.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay, so with that, what do we talk about? You can find our picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. You can review the show in iTunes, rate the show, give us some stars. You can send your feedback to feedback@theiosshow.com if you have any questions or comments or input on the show. And you can check out our sponsor, which is HelloFresh at HelloFresh.com, and use the code TIOSS30 for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at BackbeatMedia.com. Adam Christensen's at the MattCast, MattCast.com, and at MattCast on Twitter. Thanks for being here today, Adam.
Hey, yeah. Good show. It's fun.
And Jeff Gamet, he's at the Mac Observer, MacObserver.com, the TMO Daily Observations podcast, and at Jay Gamet on Twitter. Thanks for being here, Jeff.
It's awesome every single week.
And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. With that, we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus.